Christ's Sacrifice for Us, June 26, 1902, typed. The Lord created man pure and holy, but Satan led him astray, corrupting his mind, perverting his principles, and turning his thoughts into a wrong channel. His purpose was to make the world wholly corrupt. Christ saw man's fearful danger, and he determined to save him by a sacrifice of himself. He became a man that he might accomplish his work for the race. He, the Redeemer, the Restorer, desires by the Holy Spirit's power to sanctify and purify the mind of man, that he may accept him as his co-laborer. He desires to make the mind of man a power that will draw other minds to himself. It is his purpose, by the elevating, sanctifying power of the truth, to give men nobility and dignity, that he may use them as instruments to show the world that God has sent his Son into the world to become bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2, verse 9, 10. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Verses 14 to 18. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 10. Christ might, because of our guilt, have moved far from us. But instead of moving farther away from us, he came and dwelt among us, filled with all the fullness of the Godhead, to be one with us, that through his grace we might attain to perfection. By a death of shame and suffering, he paid man's ransom. What self-sacrificing love is this! From the highest excellency he came, his divinity clothed with humanity, descending step by step to the very depths of humiliation. No line can measure the depth of this love. Christ has shown us how much God can love, and our Redeemer suffer, in order to secure our complete restoration. He desires his children to reveal his character, to exert his influence, that other minds may be drawn into harmony with his mind. Christ, our Savior, in whom dwelt absolute perfection, became sin for the fallen race. He did not know sin by the experience of sinning, but he bore the terrible weight of the guilt of the whole world. He became our propitiation, that all who receive him may become sons of God. The cross was erected to save man. Christ lifted on the cross was the means devised in heaven of awakening in the repenting soul a sense of the sinfulness of sin. By the cross, Christ sought to draw all to himself. He died as the only hope of saving those who, because of sin, were in the gall of bitterness. Through the agency of the Holy Spirit, a new principle of mental and spiritual power was to be brought to man, who, through association with divinity, was to become one with God. To break down the barriers that Satan had erected between God and man, Christ made a full and complete sacrifice, revealing unexampled self-denial. He revealed to the world the amazing spectacle of God's living in human flesh and sacrificing himself to save fallen man. What wonderful love! As I consider it, I weep to think that so many of those who claim to believe the truth are encrusted with selfishness. Living for self, they know not their Savior. Oh, that they had more faith, more love! If they entered into the work in the Spirit of Christ, if they knew the power of His grace, they would be imbued with a zeal that is far in advance of the tameness now revealed. They would work earnestly to give the Lord's workmen in needy, difficult fields every possible advantage. With their prayers and with their means, they would compass sea and land to establish memorials for God. It is because the divine influence has not imbued Christ's followers that there is so little unselfish work done. A message must be born to the world that will impart new, sanctified impulses to those who are corrupted by sin. By those nigh and afar off, the message must be heard. My soul is filled with sorrow as I see those professing to be children of God bringing their sinful habits and tendencies into the Christian life. Self gains the mastery, and Christ is dishonored. I marvel that professing Christians do not grasp the divine resources, that they do not see the cross more clearly as the medium of forgiveness and pardon, the means of bringing the proud, selfish heart of man into direct contact with the Holy Spirit, that the riches of Christ may be poured into the mind and the human agent be adorned with the graces of the Spirit, that Christ may be commended to those who know Him not.